and he serves in Ward 5. So text in if you're in Ward 5, 309-451-9299. He asked if the proposed budget is enough to help us as the city recover, or if we were just keeping us right where we are. So, Nick, what did you mean by that in the council meeting when you had asked?
Well, it's an ongoing theme that several of us have been trying to push a little bit, where we tend to take the budget and say there's $5 million and that $8 million is for streets, sidewalks, it's concrete and asphalt. So it covers more than just the streets itself. But we tend to say, if you just take that money that's been budgeted all the time and you use it as wisely as possible, that doesn't necessarily get us where we need to go. And I think Sheila Montney asked a great question as well when she said, you know, how many lane miles do we have? And the answer was 800 and some. And if we're doing 15 miles a year, you know, you can see that takes a long time to get through all of the streets and make sure they're there at the standard that we want. So the reason for the question was really just, let's figure out what we need to do to make sure that next year we're in a better spot than we are this year, and that we continue moving forward positively. So I believe that the vote last night to increase that amount was a big win. Was it a big enough win? No, I don't think it was. I think we do need to spend more there. But staff did give us a good, reasonable answer on, they don't believe there is the capacity to get more done this year. But we did increase what we can. And I think the way the numbers worked out again, lane miles, we're probably going to be able to do almost a third more lane miles with that additional money. So that's like I said, a huge win. But I hope going forward in the years to come, we'll be able to budget more so that we're actually getting ahead versus just treading water.
In my thoughts on it, I was thinking about it, and it's like, if we're resurfacing and if we're allotting this work to happen in a year where inflation and material costs are through the roof, I'd imagine, maybe it's best that we don't allot all of that money, because it's just going to not be worth as much if we were to wait. But I don't know where that line in the sand is. Like, do we wait long enough to where our roads are just completely fallen apart? Or do we wait and see if the economy gets better and the material costs are better, and then we'd spend our money that way? So how is inflation going to play into this resurfacing?
You know, I know it's not wise to disagree pretty strongly with the host, but waiting would be a really, really bad choice. It just gets you further behind. Mm-hmm. Yes, the cost of inflation, we may do less lane miles with that money, but we have to make some progress. Every mile that we don't touch and every road that we don't touch that's in need is just another one that's a little worse off next year that costs needs more work to get it to the standard. So
right.
I apologize to him, the engineer that sat with Kevin Cothey last night, really, really bright guy, very, very Frank. Smart, very aware of what's going on. He can explain the details of, you know, if you let it go beyond a certain point, what the incremental costs are. And he's been very good about meeting with folks and talking about things like that. So waiting would be the wrong choice. Inflation is going to reduce the number of miles that you get out of that money, but we still do need to invest as much as we can.
Okay. And his name is Craig Schunkweiler. I think I'm saying that right. And he added that there was a limited supply of companies and associated workers to do this sort of work, and we have no idea if that's ever going to change. And then, therefore, there is more work that needs to be done doing it than there are companies to do that actual work. So he was talking about the shortage of the actual workers themselves. And if you wait and prolong, maybe we won't even have companies that would be willing to come out and do the work if you were to wait. So I do understand why this was such a, but we need to have more. So I also wanted to talk about the nature of the resurfacing. So resurfacing, is that just going to be patchwork, Nick?
No, I won't claim to be, though I did grow up actually pouring streets as a kid, but I won't claim to be an expert here. You've got repaving where you basically replace the road. Then you've got resurfacing where you go over the top, and then you've got fixing. And there's three different levels. And basically, as you go through, and determine when a road gets to a certain point, it needs to be replaced. Prior to that, there's the philosophy that he did talk about where, and this is something that I think people often will misunderstand, you have to keep the good roads good because it will in the end save money. But sometimes you as a citizen might see, they're fixing that, we're working on that road that looks great to me, instead of fixing this one over here that looks much worse. And there is a way to, you know, kind of treat the good roads, prevent the water from getting in and expanding and contracting with the wonderful central Illinois weather, right, that causes the deterioration faster. So sometimes they do work up front that preserves the roads for longer and gives you a longer life, which allows us to then be able to do, you know, less lane miles per year and still get ahead. So they're really looking at the balance. I think the engineering ideas and the direction they're trying to go, from all that I understand, I actually really like what I hear from Craig. It's just I'd like to see us spending more money so that we can make a little more headway. And you did mention the companies. They are trying very hard to, you know, take chunks of work that a smaller company might be able to contract. So they're going to reach out to different companies. That's how they're going to hopefully, you know, consume all of the additional money that was added to the budget last night to really, again, make some extra progress this year. So I'm hopeful that we did win, to put it in quotes, you know, last night with getting some additional work done for the community.
Yeah, but there should be more. And with that, you know, comes cuts, I'm sure, in other areas. But I did want to touch on this before we cut to break. The reason why you voted for Grant Walsh, you were a part of the 5-2. There was only two members who voted against Grant Walsh. What do you expect from Grant Walsh, and why'd you vote yes?
Well, I had a slight advantage that many didn't have, is that I know Grant. We haven't been in touch in a few years, but we were scout leaders when our sons were both in scouts together, and I've worked with him, and I find he's a guy that's focused on service. He really wants to serve and help. He's very bright, as he demonstrated last night, you know, diving in his first meeting and really contributing. And he's really very capable of listening, making good judgments, being open. I think he's going to be a very reasonable, rational, you know, data-driven guy. And I really think he's going to do a good job. I talked to several of the candidates personally, and there were two that I said I would support really strongly no matter what. There was another one that I said, yeah, I think this person's okay. And then there were others that were good, but I didn't think would do the best job. And Grant was one of the two that I was very happy to support. He's going to do a great job. And contrary to what others think, I don't go and try and duplicate the guy that left, no offense to Jamie. Mm-hmm. I pick the best candidate if it's a me. And I think the mayor did a good job of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Picking the best candidate. That's what I was kind of reading and like listening to last night. It sounded like the only reason why Jeff Craybill and Julia Migg, Jeff Craybill of Ward 8 and Julia Migg of Ward 4 had voted against Grant was because he wasn't the exact same as Jamie. And I was just like, well, that's kind of bizarre. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to have the same political leanings. He's not going to have the same decision-making skills as Jamie Mathie. And Jamie Mathie is very middle of the road, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he votes on things, and I'm excited. Nick, thanks so much for being here on the Morning Buzz. We appreciate it.